Okay, welcome and thank you for joining us today to discuss mobile apps that will help make your practice run more smoothly. I would like to introduce today's presenter, Dr. Reza Sadesian. Dr. Sadesian is a pediatrician and healthcare executive who has gone back for additional training in clinical informatics as a fellow at the University of Washington. He is the first and only pediatrician in North America with fellowship training in both clinical and biomedical informatics. He has extensive experience as a healthcare consultant, having led ICD-10 conversion efforts and current line of work and research interests, including examining the feasibility of using telemedicine to help manage pediatric health issues. If you have a question at any point during this presentation, email us at healthtech@sma.org and we'll get your questions answered at the end of the session or shortly thereafter. So let's get started. Dr. Sadesian, tell us about mobile applications in healthcare, what they are, on what platform can we find them, or any other tidbits that you can share that can help a busy clinician throughout their day.
Thank you very much, Mr. Glick. We have seen a significant increase in the growth of mobile application in medical practice. And I'm saying that because 15 years ago or more, when I had one of those Palm Pilots, I remember there was a Windows-based operating system on one of my phones made by Siemens, that I had the Stedman's dictionary on my phone. And when I started medical school, especially when it comes to anatomy, it was very helpful rather than going through the book to use it as a resource. Now we're talking about 2018, 15, 16 years later from the time that those preliminary applications were made for Palm Pilot or BlackBerry at the time. And now we're talking about major shift in technology and development of all these new applications that clinician can use in their practice. So just to give you a little bit of statistics to see how much different it has become from those report, you will see they analyze the application across the two major operating program system that we have. One is Apple made, that we also call it iOS, that made by Apple, and the other one is a Google Play Android. And so we have over 325,000 mobile health application that was available in 2017. So you can see the significant increase in number from early 2000 to now, that we have over 325,000 application. And it's interesting because Android now is the leading mobile health platform. And they provided some more data between these two platforms. Some of us carry Android-based operating system phone, and some folks, they have Apple. So it's really important to kind of know the application that you're looking for, if the developers have made that for those platforms. Most of the time, they try to build an app for both platforms, but over the past year or so, we have seen that there are more applications in healthcare that are being developed for Android operating system. For instance, since last year, we have over 78,000 new health applications that added to major app stores, and we had about 50% increase from prior year in number of application that was added to Google Play Store, which is your Android, and the number was about 158,000 new application. And also we had about 20% increase in number of application that added to iOS for your Apple phone. So for the purpose of our talk, you can see that it's almost impossible to go over this number of applications, but what I'm hoping to accomplish for our audience here is that by understanding and knowing what kind of applications are available to their specialties, they can leverage those and make their workflow easier. So we don't have a whole lot of application that will run on other platform like Windows Phone or Amazon App Store or BlackBerry. Now BlackBerry is even, the BlackBerry phones run by Android. So basically the major two player here is Apple and Android. Now the other issues to consider is whether these apps are free or paid. And there are plenty of free application, and some of which we're going to get into that, that the clinician can leverage and use it as part of their extra assistance on their smartphone as to accomplish their daily task and also to make their workflow a lot easier. The other things to keep in mind is whether these apps are being developed by third-party vendors or institution-based. And what it means is, if you are a pediatrician like me, or if you are an internal medicine or family physicians, your institutions also have applications that you should receive through the newsletter or in mail or as part of your membership that surprisingly a lot of people are not aware of. And I give you an example. For instance, as a pediatrician, one of the most famous thing that we know is the Harriet Lane book that people use or used to use, and also Red Book, which we use for infectious disease. And so as part of our membership, you can also get the Red Book on your phone. So you don't have to carry that book, or if you're not in your office, that you have the book sitting on your shelf, you can have access to. And this is a great resource for me as a pediatrician. Or another example is a Harriet Lane that most of the time throughout the training, they suggest to read that. So you have the book on your phone. This is through the publisher, so you have to purchase it. But the beauty of it is that as the contents get updated, you also get those updates on your phone. So think about the old fashioned that we would go and buy book after book after book if you want to have a new and latest and greatest version of it. And now you have it on your phone. Now, what are the benefits of these on your phone? So as I said, you know, we have, or the way I can think of it is that we have four different application type. And so depends on what application type you're using, these applications can have benefits for you. We are, you know, grateful that we have an advanced technologies with our telecommunication services, and we have a fast 4G, and now they're talking about 5G that is coming out. And so you have constant access to some of these resources that you need to be online through some of this app to be to have access to. But some of these applications, you have the entire content on your phone. So if you're in the part of the hospital that you don't have good receptions, or the Wi-Fi is not as strong enough, or you are outside the country, you know, on a missionary trip, or Doctors Without Borders, or anything that you can really use some of those references to educate or educate others, or you know use for your treatments, and you have no access to the computer, or you don't have access, or you didn't bring all those textbooks along with you, then your little smartphone has those applications that basically you carry around as your reference. And I found this very beneficial. Most of the time that on my phone, I want to educate the staff or medical student or residents or family, and I don't have access to the computer. And sometimes it makes it easier for them to visualize, especially the family. I just pull up that part of the anatomy on my phone with the apps, and you know, I can go over the child illness, and it just makes it easier for them to understand. So there are so many benefits that having those applications on your phone can play a role. Now, as part of the, as far as the application type, I kind of divided into four categories. So one is the medical reference, and I kind of alluded to that. And I just put a few examples of some of the most common one. And as I said in the beginning, we have over 325,000 applications. So we just want to highlight some of the application that I use in my practice, or some of my colleagues use in their practice. So hopefully this will guide you to kind of further look into this and see what applications out there that would help you with your clinical workflow. So for instance, Epocrates up-to-date Medscape and Redbook. I already talked about the Redbook, the infectious disease textbooks for pediatric. So I use up-to-date and Medscape very much. And so what I like about these is that, you know, Epocrates is also an application I used to use, and this is a pharmacology formulary app. And then up-to-date, as you know, I'm sure you have heard about it, this is a great resource to look into illnesses, treatment, and they have a clinician version that you have to subscribe on an annual basis, or your institution can have an can give you an access if they have an institution account. And also they have a patient site, which the information would be a lot easier for patient to look into as part of the family education. I also use Medscape for my medication, which I found it very helpful. And also they have Medscape News on the app. So as you browse and you see interesting articles, that comes to my phone, that I can share the link with, you know, with colleagues, or post it on LinkedIn or on other platform. And I found it very helpful to have that. The second type of applications are social and communication app. And this is also a very interesting category. One of the apps that I really like is Doximetry, and I use their dialer. So what is the app by itself? So this is basically a social network. So if you Google your own name, and if you had signed up for Doximetry, you should see your name. So they have, they claim they have about 70% of the physician database. So basically this is a HIPAA secure and protected platform to communicate with other doctors across the, you know, their network. You can send facts through your phone, you can follow news and, you know, train in your specialty. Sometimes they post a job, you compare salaries, and it's a free app. And a lot of physicians use that to communicate with other physicians. The other app is like Figure One. And Figure One is also very interesting. It's available on both platforms, on iOS and Android. And this is a great app if you want to look back on some of the rare conditions, or if you're seeking to see and learn about those rare condition or any textbook cases. And one of the feature about the app is that they said that publisher says that they guarantee patient privacy by automatically face blocking and removal of identifying information. Again, this is also a free app. The other type of apps that are popular, at least I use, is medical journal app. And I just put two of them. There are plenty of these apps available. Once you click on one of these app, or when you go on your phone on your Apple store or Google store, the machine learning that is built into those search engine will suggest you with other apps that are similar in function. So, and this applies to both App Store and Android Store. So as far as Case App is a medical journal. This is for physician and researcher And they have a very, very strong machine learning algorithm built into it. And what it means is that if you look at certain journals and certain article, it starts to understand your pattern of interest and start to suggest you the other articles that are similar to the one that you initially look for. Read by QXMD is similar to Case. And this looks like an old-fashioned magazine format. So it's pretty cool, especially if you have it on a larger device, like I have a Samsung Notes and it's a larger screen. This looks like a magazine format, and it allows you to read and download the studies, journals, articles from any sources that they support, including open access journal, PubMed, and if there are papers that are linked to the institution, as long as there's no fee associated with it. The last part is one of my favorite, and these are the clinical decision support app. And I just put some of the example here. One of the ones that I really like is MD Calc. And this one has tons of helpful resources. For instance, you know, there are times that you don't deal with certain situation on your daily basis, but then you run into it and you want to do some evaluation on it and you don't have access to the computer or the reference. But you remember that, okay, you know, for instance, you know, I work, I do inpatient and outpatient, and sometimes you get an ankle injury and I want to do the Ottawa ankle evaluation. And so in order to make sure that I'm, you know, for instance, not missing anything, and I go to the app and put the Ottawa ankle. Sometimes you're inpatient and you want to calculate the GFR or creatinine clearance, and you have it on the app. You just punch in the number from your labs and you get the number, bingo, good to go. So you can adjust your, you know, for instance, medication. In my pediatric practice, you know, the Pedia BP, I use it for pediatric blood pressure, because in pediatric, we have it by age and gender, and we have to have all the measures into the calculation. Billy calculation, you know, when I ran a newborn nursery and I want to see the child's, you know, when I see the child's bilirubin level, you know, instead of looking at the graph, if you punch a number and hours of life, it will tell you based on the risk factors where this child is on the graph. If you want to do a quick acid-base calculation, and this is actually very good to teach when I'm on the teaching service, running by the residents and medical students, and see what they think and help them through the app. And it has a really good explanation, and you know, what is the primary disorder, if there's any compensation. So it's very helpful, not only to get to the answer, but also use as educational tools. Another thing that I use is StatAsthma. This is a great app that it goes over the symptoms of the asthma, and particularly for outpatient practice, that you can classify your asthma based on the severity of symptoms. And again, it's a really great educational tools. On the adult side, also there are tons of applications. One of the ones that my colleague told me that he was using is ASCVD Rhesus Estimator, which is your atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease risk estimator, and you know, to calculate your 10-year risk, and they found it also very helpful. Now, here's a question. We already talked about whether these are paid or free, and are they being regulated? So a lot of these applications are, they're being built by third-party vendors. So FDA has some regulation over the apps, but it depends on what type of application they are. And most of these educational one does not, they don't need to go through the FDA regulation. So depends on what you're using this application for. I think it's important to kind of keep in mind whether or not I need to make sure that this falls into FDA guidelines. So this is an extra step I would take. But for the most part, the things that I discussed, you don't have to worry about it if you're within that limit. The other thing is that there are plenty of applications that are available, some of which as part of, for instance, milestone, for instance, in pediatric, we follow the milestones. And when I downloaded some of these apps, they want you to create an account, which makes sense to create a patient profile based on the date of birth and their visit, what to expect. So it is important to keep in mind that these are some third vendor companies, and just to make sure that you are not storing patient information on these apps, because you don't know on what cloud base this application will be kept, this information will be kept. And so we want to make sure that we're not violating HIPAA. With that being said, Mr. Glick, is there any question for me?
Thank you, Dr. Sedesian. That was great. If anyone asks questions, please remember you can email us at healthtech@sma.org, and our moderator will ask those questions for you. Any difference between the apps, any significant differences, I guess, between apps run on a phone device or a tablet or iPad?
Well, the new platforms that they designed the app, they have this functionality that adjusts to the screen level. Now, some of the apps needs, for instance, if they use it for the purpose of dermatology or anything that require high resolution, they want to make sure that, for instance, if it is built for your iPhone for that pixel density, if they make it for your iPad, for instance, it follows the same protocol, because there's some apps that are specifically built for your smartphone, but when you go to download them for instance, for your iPad, they said, yeah, you can download it, but when you download it, the apps is only within the center of your screen as large as your phone, and then you can maximize it, you can double the size, but then you lose the quality on the screen. So that was one of the issues that you know, I used to run into. Nowadays, with the new app development, the way they built it is that it adjusts to the screen. There are certain apps that you need to have a larger screen because of the user interface. For instance, some of the application that they use for telehealth, or some of the application that they use that include patient information, and it's like your patient portal kind of type of user interface, you need to have a larger screen. So they specifically built it for instance.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sounds like the functionality is the same, but the display or the interface might be a little bit different. Are there any helpful applications for patients that physicians might want to tell their patients about?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I try to bring my patient up to speed as much as I can, because it helps them to understand the medical management of their child, but also it eliminates some of their anxieties, and also, you know, when they look for the websites that they do not necessarily provide the right information for them. So some of the milestone apps and some of this preliminary version for my practice that, you know, I always look around and see what is available for family. I ask them if they're interested in this kind of application. And if they are, I suggest some of those apps so that, you know, if they, not that they, it is going to replace their physician, but it's going to help them to understand, for instance, the mechanism of the child illness, for instance, especially if the child has chronic illness. So yes, there are plenty of those applications available to look for. And sometimes they come in and tell me, hey, I found this. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like the sheer number of tools that are out there available are pretty vast. So that's definitely something we would encourage everyone out there that's listening to. If you have questions, to please email us either now or after this session. Please email us at healthtech@sma.org to ask more questions, specific questions. Dr. Sadesian, thank you so much. This was very comprehensive, great time spent today. So this concludes our presentation for today. Just remember, you can contact SMA or Dr. Sadesian to help with any of these types of health tech related issues by emailing healthtech@sma.org. Have a great day.